Judges tonight. Judges chapter 1. So we go through this great book of Judges. It certainly has its high points, but we also notice that it also has some low points. And some of that is brought out in this chapter. It certainly does share with us the depravity of man, and besides that, the total depravity of man. But I'd like to start here with verse 20. We looked at that just a little bit last time, and I'd just like to bring out a couple of more thoughts, or maybe just repeat of some thoughts about this. It was this sons of Anak that we read about over there in the book of Numbers that the children of Israel had a real issue with. Those 10 tribes came back with a report that they probably could not take these guys. And then we find out here, Caleb, a man of faith, a man that God gave faith to, was able to deal with it in one verse of scripture. He took, expelled thence the three sons of Anak. The problem that we find so often is that the folks that said they would go up and take care of the problem and came back with an evil report just did not have the faith of God's elect. Verse 20, it says there, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Now, just a reference about those 10 tribes that came back, or 10 men that came back with an evil report. These were the troublemakers, really, in the camp, the 10 spies, and they could not see the deliverance by God because of their natural state. And they were depending upon the arm of the flesh to deliver them. And we find that that will never do it. And just along that thought, would you turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. We've looked at this passage of scripture a couple of times recently because it shares so much truth about the position that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, and there's a great king, the king of Assyria, his name is Sennacherib, is coming up against Judah. And it tells us in chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles, in verse 1, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, or invaded Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. So he had these ideas about coming in and invading Judah. He is going to take this place. He's going to make it his own. And then in verse 2, and when Hezekiah, and he's the king of Judah, saw Sennacherib was come, that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered together much people to gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the streets of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous, that not be not afraid nor dismayed nor for the king of Assyria, for not all the multitude that is with him, for there is more with us than with him. Now it's interesting that the Lord called on him to do many things in preparation, but that's not what he's trusting in. He's our daily life, what some of the preparation that we do or could do. We read our Bible, we could pray, we could be with believers of like faith and comfort each other in the Lord and all of these things, even as we do here on Sermon Audio and on Zoom. And we go through all of this, but truly we know where our strength comes from. It's not in those things. It's good to be prepared, but our strength is not in there. And Hezekiah brings this out. He tells us there in verse 7, be strong and courageous, and be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there is more with us than with them. and with him. And I looked at those ten spies that went in there and came back with a report about the sons of Anak being great giants. They just were trusting in the arm of the flesh. And Hezekiah brings this out, for him is an arm of the flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us. So these are trusting in the arm of the flesh. And we just see that. Look back, and I can see that in my own religious life, trusting in the arm of the flesh, trying to get things done for God. And then we find out that when God saves us, we have a greater defense than we ever thought. Preparation is good. Having a defense is good. But to him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, why did these rest upon the words of King Hezekiah? Because he used the word of God. That's what we truly rest on, is the word of God. And we'll see that as we travel through this passage of scripture in the book of Judges. So Hezekiah brings out, they're trusting in the arm of the flesh because they have many, because they have great, because they have all of this things of war. They're going to win the battle. And yet they didn't take into consideration what was going to happen here. And that is the Lord would give them deliverance. And we find that that principle is found throughout the scriptures. Also, with regard to those 10 spies, I'm reading a book of the exposition of Ruth by an old Scottish preacher. And a thought he made in there was, there are too many even of the professors of true religion who have no other reason for professing it but the public confession of it among the people of whom they belong. So it's easy when you're among people that you agree with to make a confession. But these folks came back with an evil confession. God could not do, God could not win, God was unable to lead the people. And now we come back here to the book of Judges, and in one verse of scripture sums up all that those 10 tribes couldn't do. One man, Caleb, goes up against those sons of Anak, and we find that the feat is made and they win. And then we go on. So let's go back to the book of Judges again and pick up some thoughts there in the book of Judges. And there in chapter 1, as we travel down, we've looked there just a little bit at verse 20. Let's go on as we find out what happens in this. And there are several times in this verse of scripture that the term "neither did" is mentioned. And I hope to kind of sum up this whole, the rest of this chapter tonight, but it may not happen. In the remaining verses of this chapter, we see many of the tribes of Israel leaning on the arm of the flesh, and they're not able to win against these people that are in the land. Now, the Lord had already told them, we've read this in the book of Numbers, but we'll also find it in the second chapter of the book of Judges, that if they do not go up and do not defeat these people, they will be a thorn in their flesh and a thorn in their eyes. It will be a real problem for them, and we're going to find that that truly happened, and it led many of those Israelites off into paganism, into idolatry, and they followed after those things and turned away from the Lord. Well, the reason they did that, they didn't have a heart to love the Lord to begin with. But as we look at this, we find that these things happen. And we also find from our standpoint that faith must be tried. It can only be proved by trial. Faith is too often counterfeited, and it takes trials of one sort or another from the Heavenly Father to demonstrate what is real faith. Now, if it's real faith, it is given of God. If it is not real faith, it is the arm of the flesh. And we'll trust it until our dying moment, unless the Lord should intervene and bring us out of that nonsense. It is nonsense, but it is our nonsense. Now, God has a faith that He gives, and that faith will stand a trial. That faith will stand a test. That faith will be the same test that Abraham was given. Take your son up there. By faith, he did that. And we find out by faith, Abel, his faith was tried. I'm sure that there was some interaction between his brother and said, "What are you doing offering one of the best sheep you have? when you can have this, I'll help you out with that. Well, his faith was tried, and he said, there's only one faith that is God's faith, and that is he requires a lamb, and he requires shed blood of a lamb. So this is so important. So the trials of our faith are always coming along, and they're for our benefit, and they're to share with us, do we stand in the faith or not? It's as I think Brother Lauren brought out many years ago, it's a heart check. All right, we have two of those spies that came back with a good report. They had faith in God. Their faith was really tried that day because they were going to be stoned to death. That whole group was ready to stone them to death. And so we have that the faith of God's elect is often tried in many ways. And yet, by God's grace, we have that faith given to us and we come out. So as we look here in these verses in the book of Judges here, it said in verse 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites continued to dwell there. And then it tells us in the dropping down in the book of verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean. And it tells us there in verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites, and neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, and neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, and the rest of that. And we find out in verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants. Well, you know, as we look at this, we find out that the Lord has so written about this in the Word of God, that if there is success, it is from God. If there is faith, it is God's faith to us. And we find out that these folks, even as Abraham, when we read in the New Testament, as well as in the Old Testament, we're going to find out that God has always shared this with regard to his people. And I just want to direct your attention to a verse of scripture or two over in the book of 2 Corinthians. We see here that what happens if these folks could not say, we're of the children of faith. They could not say that. They had to say, we're the children of flesh. You know, Abraham only took one of his sons up on that mountain. He had two sons, but he only took one up there. Now he's commanded to take him up there, but he only took one. And the child of the flesh stayed back. He was not a participant in that. And once again, we find that God required a lamb. Required blood, and he had that. So let's turn over here to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we find the benefit that God gives to his people and every one of his children. Now, you know, sometimes I look at the Apostle Paul and I just say, man, I wish I was like him. He was able to just have courage in every time he needed. He had courage and everything else. And he went places and he did things and he preached the gospel and he was faithful. And we have the books written about his what he did for the Lord. And then I read about him writing about himself. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, I don't see that in him, but he did. And that's just the way we are. We see the benefit of God's faith in others, but we kind of come back and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Well, look here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and there in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, and we read this. It says, now thanks be unto God. Now that's what Joshua and Caleb could say. The rest of the host couldn't say that. They did not believe God. They were trusting in the arm of the flesh, and they saw that their arms were just too short. Their flesh was too weak. They could not go against those sons of Anak, and Caleb was able to do that. And the record is all by himself. He expelled those. So what a statement. All right. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Now, that God is just not out there to save us for today and drag us behind the boat tomorrow. He always causes us to triumph. Now, it's not to say that he will not try our faith, because he does that. But it is for our benefit. If it is faulty faith, you know, I think everyone here, I went to my pastor one time thinking I was lost, and before I left, I was called to preach. Well, he didn't know how to deal with this. He didn't know how to deal with the issue. I didn't go for that reason. I went for help. Well, we find out when God's lost sheep actually want help, he's going to send them help. And he turns that whole thing around. We find here, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge to us in every place. So Caleb, what a statement was made. He always causes him to triumph. And then in the same book, in chapter 9, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, turn there with me if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we read a similar passage of Scripture, chapter 9 and verse 8. As we think about what was going on in that area at that time during the Judges, and this is not the worst of times yet. This is stuff that was going on during Joshua's period. And we're going to get in chapter 2, and there's a whole generation that came on who knew not Joshua, nor the elders, and they did every man what was right in their own eyes. And I wonder what's going on here. Every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. It hadn't changed, but it's going to get worse. Well, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. God has great to provide all sufficiency in all things. You know, Caleb, I look at him and what a gentleman, what a believer, and yet he would quickly go right back and said, it was not me. It was the faith that God gave me. It wasn't me. It was the sufficiency that God gave me. And this is what we find out. And then he goes on to say, may abound to you every good work. So Caleb is what an example he is. The other 10 are an example of the arm of the flesh. Caleb and Joshua are the example of the arm of the Spirit, the work of God, and what he has to do. And then in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, we've read this several times recently, but I want to read it again because it shares so much. If God would give his own son, if God gave his own son, since God gave his own son as a payment for our sin, as the fulfillment of the covenant of grace, here in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, we read this about God's great gift to us. He said, he that spared not his own son, he redeemed his people by the blood of the Lamb, and he spared him not. He is the one that brought out all of that great wrath and placed it upon his son. He that spared not his own son. I didn't look up that word spared, but I'm convinced that there is a whole lot more there than we think about. He could not spare his own son. He must inflict upon him justice as the substitute for his church, for his people. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all the church, all the elect, all those that Paul's been writing to, the brethren, the saints that were in Rome, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The children of Anak are nothing. He shall freely give us all things. What a blessing it is to find out, and no doubt Caleb found this out too, the battle was not his, the battle was the Lord's. And what is it when it comes to revealing the gospel today? What is it when it comes to having people born again? It's completely out of our hands. It's not something that we are going to be dealing with. So the Lord did us a big favor. It's not up to you. I am the one that wins the battle. And he says, and I'll freely give you all things. I'll give you all things. I'll give you every city. Now, those who didn't take the city were just demonstrating that they are those like the seed that fell on the stony ground. They had a semblance of religion. Now, let me find that passage of Scripture. I wrote it down, I know. It's in the book of Mark is the one I want to go to. Let's go. There's two counts, one in Matthew, and I wrote the one in Matthew down. So let's go over to the book of Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, we have a lot of issues here as we find, and it's not for us to judge at all. When we see this happen, we too rejoice. When, and we can't know the heart. But eventually, we see them leave. We see them depart. And it breaks our heart that they would depart. So we're not going to judge them when it starts, but it sure does break our heart. And I can feel with Joshua and Caleb, and I can feel with Moses and with Aaron, when those 10 tribes, 10 representatives of those 10 tribes came back with an evil report, when they appeared to be okay. You know, they would all say, as Jesus dealt with a lot of people, we be of our father Abraham. We be of Abraham's seed. And rightly so. They were of Abraham's seed. But they were the children of Ishmael and not the children of Isaac. All right. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 13, there is a wonderful parable given here that has been so often maligned because it's been made often. This is different ways people are saved or different stages. They're all saved, but, you know, there's only one here that's ever saved. Now, I am convinced that it may look like sometimes that we are stony ground believers. But if God intends for stony ground believers to ever be saved, he's going to move them to good ground. That's the only way. He's not going to take stony ground believers. He is going to move them to a place where they will hear the gospel and it will be effectual to them. We can say that Saul of Tarsus was a stony ground believer. He was really hip on his religion. He'd had some kind of experience. Well, notice here with me, as we read in verse 20, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with joy receive it. Well, look at there. We have somebody. When Moses chose those 12 men to go into the promised land and spy it out, I don't believe he had any idea whatsoever that they were going to come back with what the report that they had. I think he had confidence that they would go in, they would come back with a report, because he had been speaking for all this time of the property that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is God's promise to us. What more do we have but God's word on any issue? God's word is, God is going to give you this land. And they came back with that report, and Moses and Aaron were distraught. Well, they had seemingly they had received the word, and Anon with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself. Now that is the key. If we have it in ourselves, we're going to fail at the first. And all of those guys had that. They were trusting in themselves. They were trusting in the army that they had. They were trusting, and they were not trusting in the Lord. So he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. Well, for 2 years they've been traveling together. And when they're announced that they're going to be the ones to go in and spy out the land, my goodness, I am somebody. I am somebody. And I can just see Joshua and Caleb say, why me? Should send someone else in. But these guys are somebody, and they go in, and they dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended, and they leave. They're offended at God's word. We cannot go into this land. And so it just continues on downhill, and we find that they came back with that report. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, and this whole thing is carried over clear into the book of Judges. And we see the effect of this in natural man. They could not and they would not put out these hosts of people and all their religion. Now, we've mentioned before that they got there and they liked it, or they would have got rid of them. The people who got rid of it said, this isn't my hope. This isn't my deliverance. This isn't my salvation. This image or that grove or this incense, that's not it. They were the ones that also said, going through the 40 years in the wilderness, that ram over there they just slaughtered is not my redemption. Now, it pictures my redemption, but it's not my redemption. And there were many that said, this is it. This is it. And the Lord shares with us in the New Testament, as he did through the Old Testament, it's not by the blood of bulls and goats. This is not what it is. You must have a circumcised heart. And that's just another word for being born again. You must be born again. So they move through here and they come up with this, and we have those, many of them, stony ground recipients to the word Anon for a short time. Things went well. And then when it came, they left. They despised the word of God. They walked away from the word of God. And our only prayer is that God would eventually say, well, he is one of mine, and I will bring him under the sound of the gospel, but he's the only one that can. His people, and because of the trustworthiness of saving his people, he gives them his faith to trust him. Now, when that faith is from him, and it's worked out in us, for from our view, it is our faith that he has given us. If we have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, I was talking to a young man the other day, and he had a message, mustard seed faith. Have you ever heard a message on mustard seed faith? Well, it used to happen all the time, mustard seed faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Well, that's not what the Lord's talking about in that passage of Scripture. He said if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to Mount Hood, be you removed, and it would be moved. He said, just as he tells us when it talks about hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is it's as likely for a camel to go through the eye of a needle as it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to say, with man it is impossible. But with God, it's, everything is possible. Anything is possible. So he's not saying, if we have the faith of the grain of mustard seed, just look what we would do, but we don't have any of it. It has to be given to us. Faith is a gift of God. We don't have any faith. But when he gives us faith, it's a whole lot more than a grain of mustard seed. Why? Because we believe God and believe his word. It's what we are settled on, his word. This this impossibility with men. Now, in the turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 10. I just want to read part of that because there's a two or three words that are not in the original language. It's been supplied in there. Many say make it easier to understand, but I think it has confused many at this point. Here in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 23, Mark chapter 10 and verse 23, we have these words as it shares, and it was astonishing to the disciples. You know, he said, how hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, I don't personally think he's talking about people who have lots of wealth. I'm thinking he's talking about people who have a lot of self-righteousness. They're rich in their own righteousness. And that's impossible to enter into the kingdom of heaven unless we're stripped of that, just like God stripped Adam and Eve of those leaves that they had covered themselves with. He didn't put the skin over them. He stripped that off and then covered them with skins. And I heard a good point last night. I was listening to a message, and he said he didn't take the wool of that lamb either and make a coat out of it. He took the skin of that lamb. That meant there was death. There had to be the death of a lamb, and that was used to cover Adam and Eve. Well, here we find that the children that he'd been working with and the disciples, Jesus looked round about him and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And his disciples were astonished at his words. Verse 24. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now, if it's trusting in physical riches, okay. But I think, too, it's trusting in our own self-righteousness. We will never get there. It's an impossibility. Those 10 were trusting in their riches, and it failed them on all sides. Two of them were not trusting in their self-righteousness. They were trusting in the Lord. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And again, they were astonished, out of measure. You know what that means? They're talking to each other about, what does he mean about this? Saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible. Now that word it is in, not in the original. It has been put in there for us. Just read this without the it is. With men, impossible. I think there's more emphasis there than it when you read it with men, it is impossible. With men, impossible. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. So with men, impossible. It's impossible for those 10 to come back with a good report. It's absolutely impossible. They couldn't come back with a good report. They came back with an evil report because it was a reflection of their heart. It came back with an evil report because they'd never had conversion. They'd never had the new birth. And the two that came back with a good report was because of the faith of God's elect. They were God's chosen vessels. And that's why they did that. And so as we follow the children of Israel here in the book of Judges, chapter 1, we find out how many different groups of them, how many different tribes of them could not, would not expel those that God had told them to expel. And if you don't kick them out and destroy all of their idolatry and gods, then it is going to be a thorn or a prick in your eyes and a thorn in your sides. And it isn't two generations, and it is absolutely that very thing. And then we have, every once in a while, we have a little revival meeting. Now, I think there were a few that understood, and a whole bunch of them were just, we're having a bad time here, and we'd like to have it better. We'd like to have two chickens in our pot in a Model A in every garage. And as soon as they got that, they went back to their old lifestyle again because they did not have a change of heart. All right, as we follow this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we find the only answer that can be given to many of the experiences that we see among people who make a profession of faith, and then after a difficulty, after a trial, after they whatever happens, and they just leave, there's only one explanation. That is, God never gave them grace. God never regenerated them because he will not allow them to leave if they are regenerate. So we have those stony ground hearers. And for a season, it is not our business to make a judgment call and say, I don't think they got it. I don't think they got it. I don't think they got it. After they leave, we can say, well, if they had been of us, they'd have continued with us. But since they didn't continue with us, they're not of us. God says, that's the sign. If they leave and get involved back in their religion again, that's the sign. We pray that God will deal with them according to grace. It doesn't mean that they've sinned away their day of grace. We find out that that is done when they die. There's not going to be any change after that time. But up to that time, there's always God's grace. And if he chooses before the foundation of the world to save them in the last 3 seconds of their life, that's his business. But from our standpoint, we make a judgment call and they say, we've had a gospel preaching and God apparently worked in them and they stayed with us for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 years and finally they said, I can't take it anymore, I'm leaving. Well, what did we find with the children of Israel? We have 10 representatives says we can't take it right off. And then their descendants say we can't take it either. And we're not going to do what God said, told us to do. We're not going to expel these people and we're not going to get rid of their religion. Their girls are beautiful and the men are handsome and we like their religion because we are united on that. Well, look here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read these words. Hebrews chapter 11. And there in verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6. Now there were a lot of those Israelites that did not please God. There was the descendants of Abraham. They were descendants of Isaac. They were the descendants of Jacob. And you know what Jesus told a bunch of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob during his time? You are of your father the devil. Now, he never says that about any of the elect. Because the father of the elect is not the devil. He doesn't trade places with us. We find out you are of your father the devil, and they swore. They would have, in the days of Ezra, they could have brought out their book and said, see, I am a Levite. Right there. You can trace my line right back to Levi. In fact, I can go clear back to Adam right there. They could prove it. But When it came to reality, they knew not the first thing about grace. And when Jesus, I heard a man tonight, I think he said, if Jesus hadn't said a word, he'd have been popular among everybody. But as soon as he opened his mouth and started teaching about God and God's salvation, he was on the marked list, the hit list, instantly. And they had it in their mind that sometime they're going to get rid of him. Well, in God's providence and purpose, they did. But it was to our advantage that all happened. All right, here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please. And the word him is in italics. You cannot please God without faith. And it's not our faith. Our faith is worthless. We can't do anything with it. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, where did we get that? We get it from God. It's belief that's given to us. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How did we diligently seek him? God had to put that interest in us. It's all of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. There is no pleasing God without faith, and that faith is God given. So as we follow those tribes saying, they couldn't. They are absolutely not pleasing God. And, you know, God is merciful and long-suffering to even those that are ordained to be vessels of dishonor. And the time will come when that will be taken care of. Now, back there in the book of Judges, chapters 1, verses 22 through 26, let's just go back and review that for a moment. In the book of Judges, chapter 1, and verse 22, and the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. I like that. We enjoy that. How God spoke here. And what was it that they believed? Yes, they believed the Lord, but what was it they really believed about the Lord? They believed his word. They believed his word. They believed the word of God. God said, I will be with you, and you shall defeat them. And they believed God's word. Well, keep your finger right there and travel clear over to the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And it's interesting here, as we think about this, that the success of Joseph is particularly marked in the cause of it. The Lord was with them. That's the success. And that's the success of a church. The Lord is with them. The success of the disciples on the day of Pentecost. That was a, you know, stand back and look. All of those people that are opposed to them says, look what happened there. 3,000 people joined up with them in one day. What's going to happen if that continues on? Who's going to support the temple and the synagogues? Well, they looked at it totally different. But the children of God, they rejoiced in all of those that God saved by his great grace. Well, here, as we think about this, the Lord was with them. And to them, as well as to us, we can say that the word of God was with them. All right. Notice with me here in the book, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. It's such a revelation of Jesus Christ here in chapter 19, verse 11. Now, this is, what is it we trust? We don't have God coming down like he did to Moses or to Mount Sinai. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How can you do that if you're not quickened? You can't. You can't please God. Well, here it tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true. Well, we know right away who this is. Faithful and true. This is the Lord. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now that's what God uses with us. What is it that we believe? It isn't because we saw the Lord out by a clothesline somewhere. It is his word that we believe. It's the word that he gives to us and reveals. This is the truth. Will you also go away? He asks his disciples, thou hast the words of eternal life. It is the word. And so when we find this one tribe, this Joseph, go up and defeat because the Lord was with him, they trusted his word. And in doing that, you're trusting the Lord. So we have his word. And his word, when we read it here, it is just as valuable as if we were in the presence of the Lord when he spoke it, or when he demonstrated, or when he raised someone from the dead, or when he healed somebody. We're there witnesses of his word. And by faith, we believe it, that it actually happened just like it is recorded. And so when we follow here in the book of Judges, there is so many of them, they didn't do it. They didn't take the people. They refused to take the people. Neither did they. Neither did they. Neither did they. Neither did they. And neither did they five times, I believe it is, in the latter part of that chapter. What was it? Oh, they just weren't strong enough. No, that wasn't the issue. The issue is the Lord had not revealed himself to them. If they had any inclination at all, it was only because they had a religious affinity to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just as the Lord spoke so often to the Pharisees during his own time on this earth, if you believe if you believed Abraham, you'd believe me. Abraham saw my day and was glad. And they take up ready to stone him because he makes himself older than Abraham. How can you say that? Well, if they believed Abraham, you'd believe me. If you believed Moses, you'd believe me. And that's just the way the word is. The word is so carefully written by Almighty God that we will take his word as absolute fact. And so it is. Any victory we have is because of his word and because of his work in us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's the new birth. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Caleb, the only reason he did it was the Lord was with him. This tribe, Joseph, you know, Joseph had two sons, and we follow most of the time there's going to be two tribes that make up Joseph. Well, here we have Joseph, and he goes up, the Lord was with him. What does that mean? They trusted the word of God. He said it. We can take it to the bank. And so through the rest of this whole chapter, we find the failure of natural man to ever be appropriated anything spiritual. And at best, we can only be stony ground hearers and for a season appear to rejoice. And after a while, because of trials or tribulations, it passes off. What does it do to a believer? Trials, tribulation, what does it do? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. It causes that to happen. Faith will be tested. We'll find out very soon whose faith is it. Is it his faith or our faith? And we can just go, you know, I'm not very strong here, but he is. Those under that king are trusting in the arm of the flesh. And our God is not that way. All right. We're going to stop there and ask that you go ahead and read ahead chapter 2 as we look at chapter 2. And in that whole section of scripture, we find out how God is dealing again. This whole book is about God's dealing. And a whole bunch of people don't know the first thing about God, but those who do, God blesses in such a great way. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. So it's the faith that God gives us that allows us to overcome. We'll stop there for tonight. Thank you for your time.